Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We welcome you today to this broadcast on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for tuning in, and we trust that the Word of God will be a blessing to your heart today. We're going to take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer before we come to the reading of God's Word, to ask the Lord for His help, even in the reading and the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts before Thee in prayer. In the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for the One who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we thank Thee on the grounds of His finished work of sacrifice that we can approach unto Thee. We thank Thee the Lord Jesus could say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And we draw near to Thee, and we ask for Thy blessing upon this broadcast. We pray that even the hymns that will be sung may be that means of blessing to those who listen on. And we pray especially that the reading and the preaching of Thy Word, that it may come forth in the power and in the demonstration of Thy Holy Spirit, that sinners might be saved, that backsliders might be restored, that Your people might be built up and led on, and therefore in all things that Your name may be glorified. Give that help today, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading today in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we're reading from the verses 5 down to the verse 13. And in Matthew chapter 8 and the verse 5, we read, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this day for his name's sake. We're going to join together in the singing of the hymn, Have You Been to Jesus for the Cleansing Power? Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? We're turning again to Matthew chapter 8, those verses that were read earlier. And in Matthew chapter 8, I want in particular to draw your attention to the verses 11 and 12. The Lord Jesus was speaking, and this is what he said. "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, this 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew opens with the record of the Lord Jesus coming down from the mountain and great multitudes following him. It was the mountain which he had went up into in Matthew 5 and the verse 1 upon seeing the multitudes. The Lord Jesus had sat down on that mountain to teach. And in chapter 5 through to chapter 7, we have the record of what he said and what he taught on that occasion. And what he said on that occasion is known and has for so long now been referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. I would encourage you to read through chapters 5, 6, and 7 and consider what the Lord Jesus said and taught during that Sermon on the Mount. We discover at the end of chapter 7 that when he had ended that great sermon, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, at his teaching. He taught them as one with authority, and that was so unlike the religious leaders of the day. And so here in chapter 8 and the verse 1, we learn that as he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. They had listened to him, and they followed after him. And in the following verses, we find the Lord Jesus, first of all, in the verses that come just before where we began our reading, in verses 2 and 4, that the Lord Jesus cleansed a leper with a touch. We find then in verses 5 to 10 that he healed the Gentile servant of a Gentile centurion from Capernaum, and he healed him with just a word. We also find just beyond where we finished our reading, in the verses 14 and 15, that the Lord Jesus healed the mother-in-law of Peter from a fever with a touch. And it's significant that those three individuals, the leper, the Gentile, and the woman, were looked down upon by Jewish society, and especially by the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And yet the Lord Jesus had a care and a compassion for them. We think also of how the religious leaders looked down upon the publicans and sinners. And yet the Lord Jesus ate with them, and he proclaimed the gospel to them. It's most significant that when the Lord Jesus healed the Gentile here, he had something to say, which was a rebuke to the Jewish people who were listening. Most of the Jews believed that salvation was only for them and not for the Gentiles. But when the Gentile centurion who came to the Lord Jesus, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy," and the Lord then offered to come and heal him, because the centurion felt so unworthy that the Lord should come under his roof, he simply asked the Lord to speak the word, and he believed his servant would be healed. The response of the Lord Jesus was to say, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And then the Lord Jesus, when we come to our text, he drew something of a contrast between the fact that many Gentiles would trust in him for salvation and someday would sit down in heaven with Jews, of course, also, who had trusted him for salvation. But at the same time, many who were privileged, many among the Jewish people, would end up in that terrible place called hell because they would not accept him as a Savior. And we think of our own day. And wherever you might be, you're either on the road to heaven or on the road to hell. And I want us to consider what the Lord Jesus said here about heaven and about hell. And it will bring comfort to your heart if you're saved as you think about heaven. It can bring comfort to your heart if you will turn from sin and trust in Christ and have the assurance you're on the road to heaven. But it will also bring a warning if you're not saved of the terrible hell that awaits you if you continue to reject Christ and the salvation that is found in him. I want you to think first of all about the company in heaven. In verse 11, the Lord Jesus said that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The company in heaven. Think first of all about the number of that company. The company of heaven. The people who will be in heaven are described by the Lord Jesus, as far as number is concerned, as being many. He said, many shall come and sit down in the kingdom of heaven. A plenteous company, an abundant number of people. The Apostle John in Revelation 7 and 9, when he got a vision into heaven, he saw a great multitude which he declared no man could number. Of course, the Lord can number them. In the epistle to the Hebrews, in Hebrews 2 verse 10, we read that God is bringing many sons unto glory. Many sons. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 20, in verse 28, that he came to give his life a ransom for the many. The exact number of the company is only known to God. But the vital concern for you as you listen today is this. Will you be among that company in heaven someday? Only if you have turned from sin and trusted in Christ for salvation, or if you have not, only if you will turn from sin and trust in Christ and his finished work for the salvation of your soul. The company of heaven, the number of that company. What about the diversity of this company? In Matthew 8, verse 11, the Lord Jesus says, many shall come from the east and from the west. The Lord Jesus was making it clear that Gentiles as well as Jews would be in heaven, saved by grace, from the east and the west, from all parts of the world, even the remotest parts of the world. They shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, Jews and Gentiles, male and female, young and old, from different backgrounds, but with one thing in common, having at some point been united to the Lord Jesus by faith in him, redeemed by his blood. The book of Revelation reveals that in heaven, that diverse company, we will stand before the Lamb. We will sing unto him. We will cast our crowns before him, falling down in reverence and in worship. Let me ask you, will you be among that diverse company in heaven? And again, the answer is only if you turn from sin and trust in Christ for salvation. What about the fellowship of this company? The Lord Jesus said, many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And this sitting down paints the picture of individuals sitting down together at a banquet. It signifies the rest and the holy pleasure of heaven. The fellowship of saved sinners with Jesus Christ and with one another. Now, of course, we can, as saved sinners, enjoy sweet fellowship here upon earth. But in heaven, there's no sin to mar that fellowship. in any manner. Let me ask you again, will you be there to enjoy that fellowship? There is a hymn that says, we speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? To be there someday and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's something to look forward to. And if you're saved by God's grace, you can look forward to that day. But if you're not saved, don't fool yourself into thinking that without God's salvation that you somehow are going to reach heaven. Oh, there are many today and they feel that if they do the best they can in life, or a good neighbor, a good employee, or a good employer, whatever the case might be, a good church attender, one who gives to charity, many think and hope that by these things they will earn an entrance into heaven. And yet it is only by God's grace that you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, depending on the sinless life that he lived on your behalf, depending on that sacrificial death on the cross at Calvary. It's only by trusting in Christ and his finished work that you can be right with God now in life and have that assurance of sitting down someday in heaven. In the same sentence in which the Lord Jesus spoke these words, in Matthew chapter 8, he went on to utter very solemn words as he warned of hell. We have considered the company of heaven, but I want you to think then about the contrast of hell. Because in verse 12, the Lord Jesus said, but, what a but it is, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord Jesus, of course, had come as the Savior, but he's coming back someday as the judge. And as he spoke here in verse 12, he spoke of and indeed to a people who were privileged. He spoke about the children of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus was referring to the Jews around him. They were a privileged people. They had the word of God. The Lord Jesus had come from their line according to the flesh. He was in their midst, fulfilling his ministry in their land. The gospel had come to them first. Yet so many of them would not accept him as a Savior. They were rejecting him. They would be guilty of crying out for his crucifixion. Wherever you're watching from today, you're privileged today to be listening to the gospel. Not because of the preacher who's preaching, but because of the message that's being proclaimed. It's a privilege to hear from God's word that we are all born as sinners. It's a privilege to be warned that without God's salvation, we'll be condemned to hell forever. And it's a privilege to hear that Jesus Christ came and he lived and he suffered unto death. He shed his blood. He died and he arose again. And because of what he did by his life and death and resurrection, that you as a sinner can be saved from your sin. You can be forgiven. You can be right with God. But don't despise such privileges, or you will end up in that terrible place called hell. We see it's a place which is dark. The Lord Jesus said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. In the second last book of the New Testament, the little epistle of Jude, Jude wrote about the blackness of darkness forever. The place where the Christ rejecter goes at death. The place where the fallen angels are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. What a terrible place that must be. Be warned today then, if you're not saved, to flee from the wrath to come. The Lord spoke of a pain that is unbearable. He said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping he's talking about is lamentation, referred to as wailing in another place. In life we have cause to weep at times, but this weeping which the Lord Jesus refers to is that which someone has described as inconsolable, never-ending wretchedness and utter everlasting hopelessness. The gnashing of teeth denotes excruciating pain and frenzied anger. This is what that rich man in Luke 16 was experiencing when he said, I am tormented in this flame, I'm grieving, I'm sorrowing. What a contrast to heaven. What a terrible place hell must be. What a terrible place to be condemned to forever. No fierce reality today if you're not saved. You're on the road to hell. Turn from your sin. Trust in Christ that you might get on the road to heaven. You wouldn't want to end up in hell, but you would desire to be in heaven. And so let me encourage you to trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to have a word of prayer just as we bring our broadcast to an end. Heavenly Father, we pray that those who have listened to thy word today that are still out of Christ will even consider the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? May they flee from the wrath to come. May they flee to Christ in repentance and in faith, and have that assurance that no longer will they end up in hell, but someday will end up in heaven. So bless thy word and extend thy kingdom, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.